నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయ ముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం చాప్టర్ 14th, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 14 entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, text number 43, please repeat. Api Svet Paryabhungthas Tvam Sambhojyan Vruddha Balakan Jugupsitam కర్మ కించిత్ కృతవాన్ నా యద్ అక్షమం అపి స్విత్ పర్యభుంక్తాస్త్వం సంభోజ్యాన్ వృద్ధ బాలకాన్ జుగుప్సితం కర్మ కించిత్ కృతవాన్ యదక్షమం అపి స్విత్ పర్యభుంక్తాస్త్వం సంభోజ్యాన్ వృద్ధ బాలకాన్ జుగుప్సితం కర్మ కించిత్ కృతవాన్ యద్ అక్షమం అపి స్విత్ పర్యభుంక్తాస్త్వం సంభోజ్యాన్ వృద్ధ బాలకాన్ జుగుప్సితం కర్మ కించిత్ కృతవాన్ యదక్షమం. ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్. సంభోజ్యాన్ వృద్ధ బాలకాన్ హితం కర్మ కించిత్ కృతవాన్ యదక్షమం. అపిస్విత్ పర్యభుంక్తాస్త్వం సంభోజాన్ వృద్ధ బాలకాన్ జుగుప్సితం కర్మ కించిత్ కృతవాన్ యదక్షమం. Mataji.
Api svit paryabhuntasvam sambho janvrdhaval peace with if it were so that parya by leaving aside bhungtaha have dined tvam yourself sambhojan deserving to dine together vruddha the old men balakan boys jugupsitam abominable karma action kinchit something krutavan you must have done na not yet that which akshamam unpardonable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Srila Prabhupada's purport: it is the duty of a householder to feed, first of all, the children, the old members of the family, the brahmanas and the invalids. Besides that, an ideal householder is required to call for any unknown hungry man to come and dine before he himself goes to take his meals. He is required to call for such a hungry man thrice on the road. The neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of the old men and children, is unpardonable. Please repeat the translation. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking this to Arjuna. Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sav अवधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So we are coming to the end of this chapter that is entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he saw so many bad omens. He saw that people in general have become very greedy, and they are cheating their own friends, and they are taking to the false means of livelihood. He was observing as a king something that he did not see for many years that he is ruling. He saw that the people in general were not degraded to this extent. And Yudhishthir Maharaj got the idea that something must have happened. Something severely terrible has happened to the earth. Because how can brother is cheating the brother? How can the relationship between husband and wife has become so much stressful? And also, how come, you know, parents and children, their relationship, which is usually considered as full of love, such a relationship has also become very much stressful. And sons are cheating the parents. You know, husband and wife, they are cheating each other. So, in general, this is something that is making him understand that maybe Lord Krishna has left the world and that's why all these things are happening. Arjuna had gone to Dwarka to see, you know, all the Dwarkavasis, all the Yadus for 7 months. And when he came back, he is asking him all these questions. And we see in these questions how much love that Yudhishthir Maharaj has for Krishna. That even after he has the idea, he doesn't want to accept it. He wants to still go, you know, like sometimes in life, when you know something terrible has happened, when the person you love the most, that you know that maybe he has left, then the mind doesn't want to accept. The mind still thinks, no, maybe that's not the reason, maybe something else has happened, maybe something else. The mind just doesn't want to accept the reality. And that's what you see, that Yudhishthir Maharaj is somehow trying to find some excuse for Arjuna's terrible condition. That he has never seen Arjuna to be so much morose. His head is down, you know, tears are constantly flowing from Arjuna's eyes, and Yudhishthir Maharaj is actually very much scared to even hear that maybe Krishna has left. So that's what we see in this chapter. And tomorrow, the last verse, you will see that finally, when Arjuna is speechless, he is not answering any of these questions. He is not agreeing to any of the questions asked by Yudhishthir. You know, silence means that he is saying no to all these questions. Were you approached by some person that you could not protect? And as a Kshatriya, you are very much morose. So he is keeping quiet. That means that's not the case. So he is asking, so was it that some, you know, impeachable character woman approached you? So he's just keeping quiet. Could you not give charity to someone who deserved? So he's not speaking anything. Then even in today's, have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake? And that's like the last question that Yudhishthir Maharaj's mind is producing. Maybe Arjuna has done something. And that's why he is so upset. You know, just the devotee doesn't want to accept that, you know, Krishna, who is the whole and soul for a devotee, life and soul, Krishna has left. He doesn't want to accept. So he's asking this last question before he finally asks the main question. Has Krishna left the world? So he asks, is it that you have committed some unpardonable mistake? In purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very good idea, like how Vedic culture, every householder is supposed to feed others first. and then he is supposed to eat himself. Even it used to happen that a person would come on the street after feeding all the old members, after feeding the children, and then whatever is left in the home, whatever food is there, the person would come out and ask, "Is there anyone hungry here? Is there anyone hungry here? Last call. Is there anyone hungry?" So you would literally, they would shout. And then somebody who is really hungry would come that, "Oh please, I'm really hungry. Can you please give me something?" Then he would give that person. And these stories are there. Like these incidents, even in the pastime of Sudama, we see that there was one person who came right when he was about to take prasad. And then he gave that person because, you know, whoever comes, he is to be treated like God. Whoever guest comes to your home. So these things are very much given importance in the Vedic culture. Why? The reason is very simple. In today's world, we see even the United Nations, they annually produce a report how the crime can be controlled all over the world. And many times they have this one thing always common in their analysis. They always say that hunger breeds violence. If people are hungry, if their bellies are not filled, then they are going to be agitated. Hunger can severely affect one's mental and physical condition. So when somebody is not fed properly, then they become impulsive. Usually people in general who cannot control their tongues and bellies, it's very difficult to control the pushing and pulling of the tongue. And more difficult is to control the pushing and pullings of the belly. So that's why hunger can really make someone go crazy. We see that in Srila Prabhupada's one of the conversations, we see that Prabhupada mentions that if I have something and if I don't share, then the person who is very hungry, he may want to snatch it from you. He may think that it is unfair to him that he is not able to eat, but on the other hand, you are eating. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that by nature, whatever is coming your way, you are supposed to share with the fellow, whatever your family members or your friends or whoever is deserving. So that's why first thing is the old men and boys. If there are some food that is made in your home, first thing it should be given to the old men and the boys, because they are in need of food. They are like, you know, their bodies need food more than the young person. So that's why the first thing you should be feeding old men and the boys. They are the first deserving members. And then Srila Prabhupada actually mentions one very important thing, that everything comes from Krishna. We don't create anything. We cannot even, all the scientists in the world cannot create even one particle of grain in the laboratory. Everything comes from Krishna. Krishna is the father who actually loves to feed the children. If we give food in charity, then actually a lot more will come to us. It is not that if I have 4 gulab jamuns, I give 2 away. That means I have 2 left, right? So ideally we think that now I only have 2 left. But in Krishna's calculation, if you give 2, you will get back 20. That is inconceivably, that's how it happens. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that when someone gives charity, especially Anna Dan, that is considered very powerful. Anna Dan, like giving charity as food, doesn't have any restriction as such that the person has to be deserving, non-deserving. Only that type, one type of charity which doesn't need any special thinking too much. Sometimes if you give money, you have to think too much that what this person is going to do with the money I'm giving. But for the food, you know, whatever type of charity, it is always considered great. Even in the Quran, it is said that an animal that is brought in the mosque for the sacrifice, you know, there is a proper process given in Quran how, you know, you should perform the halal, how the animal should be sacrificed in the name of Allah. And when that animal is dead, when, you know, you cut the throat of the animal, let the animal bleed to death so that there is least pain for the soul in that body. After that, only 1/8 part should be taken. All the rest 7 parts, 7 out of 8 should be given in charity. Even that is mentioned. And then only it is considered real halal. So how many people follow that? Nobody follows. Even, you know, in Quran, they talk about whatever comes to you, you should give charity. So in the Vedic tradition, this point is very much stressed. Because if you do not feed someone, then the animal inside the person will come. If somebody is kept hungry for many days, then actually they can perform many crimes. That's what United Nations report says. And I remembered one story from my village. In our village, there was a very rich person, very famous, because that was the richest person in our town. He had a dog, Rottweiler. You know, that we didn't even know what that dog is called. It was like one dog, and he used to go with so much, taking so much pride with that dog. He would walk out, you know, and that dog was very strong. Everyone thought it's like a different type of lion or some tiger, because we didn't know about that type of breed. And he used to take so much pride to show it off. And one day what happened is that rich man had one servant who was supposed to be taking care of the dog. Somehow the servant didn't feed the dog for a few days. The servant, you know, he got busy somewhere else. And then when this rich person went on the morning, you know, when he unleashed the dog, the first thing the dog did, he bite off the hand of this person. That became such a big news that, you know, the person who is so much rich, how come his dog, you know, bite him so, you know, nastily? He took off the hand. So we were doing that research in, you know, there were many, many people, you know, giving the opinions like, because the dog was so hungry, that's why it happened. So ideally what happens is when somebody is very hungry, the impulses become very prominent, because of which a person may become very animalistic. That's why in the Vedic tradition we see, just imagine, everyone starts feeding everyone else around, you know, their like some area around their home, everyone will become happy, because usually belly is the reason everyone is working for. That if everyone is fed nicely, then there is not really, you know, any reason for people to go crazy. The crime rate will go down. So that's why we see this type of, especially for householders, this type of instruction is given. And the neglect of such prescribed duty for a householder, especially in the matter of the old men and children, is unpardonable. So Srila Prabhupada also mentions in one of his classes that how hunger, if it is not fed at the right time, it brings disease. That one time also Srila Prabhupada, he was supposed to have his lunch, and Srila Prabhupada was very strict about his timings. He would follow exact timing. So one time when Mataji was supposed to be cooking for him, and she was a bit late for that prasad, and that time Prabhupada chastised her and you know, others thought that we never saw Srila Prabhupada chastise his lady disciple like that. So Prabhupada was heavy on her. And then Srila Prabhupada later mentioned that when hunger comes, it must be fed. Otherwise, disease comes. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that if you do not feed the hunger, then even the body produces diseases. So hunger is very much needed to be fed properly. Srila Prabhupada also, you know, one time, it's a very famous pastime that in Vrindavan, all the devotees had a Govardhan Puja. And at that time, they made like nice, beautiful rice mountain. And then everyone was given nice leaf plates, and they, you know, honored the prasad. And then they were throwing the leaf plates behind the temple building. And Srila Prabhupada was staying upstairs. And then when Srila Prabhupada was talking to some of the guests, he heard that there were some dogs, dogs were barking, and there were some children and dogs. There was, you know, some shouting and dogs barking. So Srila Prabhupada heard it. So he went out and he saw what is happening. And he saw that there were some poor children who were very hungry. They were actually among, you know, they were there, you know, surrounded by those discarded leaf plates. And they were trying to get some, you know, discarded rice, some leftovers on the plate. And they were actually fighting with the dogs. There were hungry dogs who were trying to get that leftover food thrown on the street. And these, you know, little children, they were actually using the stick and trying to, you know, beat the dogs, and there was actually a fight Srila Prabhupada saw. And then when Srila Prabhupada saw that these little kids, they are snatching the food from dogs and they are trying to eat the leftover scrap food, Srila Prabhupada actually, he had tears, and tears were rolling down. And Srila Prabhupada told the disciples that we have to see that no one remains hungry within the 10-mile radius of the temple. Because the temple is the house of Krishna. Krishna is the father of everyone. And in the presence of father, how can the children remain hungry? So Srila Prabhupada gave this instruction, within 10-mile radius of the temple, no one should go hungry. That's something we have to take care. So, Srila Prabhupada's vision, when you distribute Krishna's prasadam, actually the temple will flourish more. Many times, you know, some people, especially other temples, you know, in India and like many temples all over the world, they think, you know, they try to apply their mundane intelligence, thinking that we are spending so much money just on food, and there is no, you know, there is nothing tangible income. We're just spending on food. This is all going to the people we don't know. And sometimes people just try to see this with the material vision, with material calculation, that this money is just being wasted. It's not really something tangible coming in. It's only outgoing money. But in one of the Srila Prabhupada's conversations, you find Srila Prabhupada mentions that the more the temple distributes prasad, the more flourishing it becomes. The more there is an emphasis on prasadam distribution, especially if the temple has beautiful deity worship. The deities are happy, then the temple flourishes like anything. And that's why in our temple we have such great emphasis on the deity worship. Like when someone enters our temple, the first thing they see is they say like, wow. Like many times people walk in and they see the altar and their face completely changes. They're, you know, awestruck. And then when the deities are offered nice prasadam, samshabs, foodstuff. And then when those are distributed, then actually the temple flourishes like anything. And in the fourth stanza that we sing every day, Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavad Prasad, Swadana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sanghan, Kritvaiva Triptin Bhajatam Sadaiva Vandai Guru Shri Charanar Vindam. So the pure devotee of Krishna, the spiritual master, he is taking so much pleasure in offering the four types of foodstuffs to the deities of Lord Krishna. And then the spiritual master gets so much pleasure when he sees that the devotees are honoring that prasadam. The real happiness for spiritual master is when he sees when all the devotees, they are together and they are honoring prasadam together. You know, there is also pastime that Indradyumna Maharaj shares that one time he just walked inside Srila Prabhupada's quarters. You know, Srila Prabhupada had just given a beautiful talk and Srila Prabhupada had gone to the quarters and he was staying on fourth floor. And Srila Prabhupada was looking down, from the fourth floor he was looking. And he saw that there were, lines and lines of people standing up and people sitting down and honoring prasadam. And Srila Prabhupada was only, looking at that sight. And Srila Prabhupada was in ecstasy. So Indradyumna Maharaj was trying to talk to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada didn't respond anything. He was constantly looking, down. And he was happy seeing all the devotees honoring prasadam. And then Indradyumna Maharaj was just waiting. And then when Srila Prabhupada turned around, then he saw Srila Prabhupada had tears. And Srila Prabhupada said, let them take prasadam. Let them take prasadam. That's what Srila Prabhupada was saying. He was in ecstasy seeing that all his disciples, all the followers, they were honoring prasadam. So, like Archita Prabhu was also mentioning, kitchen religion. Actual real preachers for our movement, they are in the kitchen. They make nice prasadam and prasadam actually attracts the people. I have this experience many times when I talk to devotees. Sometimes, I ask that, oh, do you remember that class, that so and so gave on that festival day? They don't remember. Which festival day? Which class? Don't you remember, he talked about Dhruva Maharaj's pastime and how Dhruva Maharaj decided to go and find Krishna. Until I find Krishna, I'm not going back home. Then the devotee is like confused. I don't remember exactly. Are you talking about that festival when they served those gulab jamuns or that rasmalai? So people actually remember prasadam more than the philosophy. Prasadam is actually something that is very tangible. Very quickly one can test Krishna. Actually, Krishna prem can be tested in the form of prasadam. If one can really honor prasadam nicely, then you can actually taste love of Krishna. People who come in the beginning of the, when in the beginning years of Krishna consciousness, the first thing that attracted almost everyone is the prasadam. And the first time we eat prasadam, we feel completely different. Like when I used to be in India in our temple, many times people would come and they would eat at the Govindas. And when we were talking to them, they would say that, what do you add in this? This one, the same outside the temple, there are so many food carts. In India, there is like food carts everywhere. So one person was saying, these samosas outside, just I walk 10 steps away, I can get literally so many different varieties of samosas. But this one, what is special about this? People have that question all the time. Do you add some special type of ghee? Is it some special spice? What makes it completely different that drags me here every time? People have that thinking all the time. But actually it is Krishna's prasadam, is Krishna's way of attracting his devotees. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized. In the beginning, when Srila Prabhupada, he started this movement, in the beginning there was nothing, no temples. There was no, you know, BBT, there was literally nothing. Everything started in just one room. Srila Prabhupada would sit and he would give these discourses on Bhagavad Gita, and he would have a big jar of gulab jamuns. And that was the attracting feature. People would come, people would travel through the, you know, trains just for that gulab jamuns, ISKCON bullets. So Srila Prabhupada knew the trick, and that's what Srila Prabhupada, he used to personally make them. He would, you know, making gulab jamun is really very tedious task, but Srila Prabhupada would make it by himself. No help, all by himself. He would make them, he would keep them properly, and then all the people would just come. And Srila Prabhupada would serve them with his own hands. He would serve them chapatis, some sabji, and gulab jamun. That was the prasadam that time. And then when everyone was left, you know, people would just, you know, leave their used plates here and there. Srila Prabhupada would clean everything. He would take each and every plate, he would go in the kitchen and he would wash everything by his own hands. So actually a real preaching, it begins in the kitchen only. That's what we see. And from that we have seen so many temples. Unlimited opulence was given to Srila Prabhupada by Krishna. And it all started in that small room where Srila Prabhupada would cook, he would give class, and he would preach. So prasadam is very, very important. And this last thing is, he is asking, have you done some unpardonable mistake that is making you so dejected? Now the unpardonable mistake can be so many. According to Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam talks about so many mistakes that a living entity can perform. The worst of the worst, you know, like cheating, or, you know, stena surapa, mitra drug, somebody who cheats his own friend, that is considered very serious crime. Or also in that it is mentioned brahmaha, guru talpaka, somebody who kills a brahman, or somebody who is trying to have an affair with the wife of a senior member, guru talpaka. These are considered very serious offenses. Or stri raja pitru gohanta, if somebody has killed an innocent woman, or somebody has killed an innocent pious king, or somebody has killed one's own mother or father, or somebody who has killed cow, they are considered as unpardonable crimes, offenses, which Krishna doesn't forgive. And Bhagavatam talks about not only these categories, and all the others also, whoever, to whatever extent sinful one may be. But then Bhagavatam talks that if somebody chants Krishna's name with sincerity, if someone atones by chanting, actually there is no atonement. What atonement can you prescribe for the person who has killed one's mother, who has killed one's father? There is no atonement at all. There is no atonement in the entire creation for such a person. But in Bhagavatam it is mentioned, even such a person can be purified by chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Holy names chanting is so powerful. Nama Vyaharanam Vishnur. That is the greatest atonement. That is the greatest process by which even Krishna's mind becomes attracted to the person who chants. Lord Vishnu starts to think that because this person has chanted my holy name, it is my duty to protect him. So that is very great advantage for the person who chants the holy names. So in this chapter, we see that the love between Krishna and the Pandavas. Krishna left without telling the Pandavas. Actually, he did not give them the direct instruction that I'm going to leave soon or this or that. He just left. But the love they both have for each other is so much that you see that Yudhishthir Maharaj, he is trying his best to imagine that the inevitable, the worst of the thing, that Krishna leaving this world, has not happened. So that's what he is trying to imagine and trying to pray that Krishna is still there and he is going to protect us. But Arjuna's dejection, and Srila Prabhupada mentions that Arjuna and all the Pandavas, their greatest quality, their greatest treasure is that they are constantly remembering Krishna. And when there is remembrance of Krishna, it doesn't matter whether Krishna is physically present or not present. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that because the Pandavas had Krishna locked up in their hearts, they were holding Krishna in their hearts, because of which it really doesn't matter whether Krishna was present physically or he has disappeared and gone back to his abode. But the Pandavas, they are constantly remembering Krishna and surrender to Krishna. And that's what we are going to see tomorrow and also the next chapter. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any question, comments. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Archit Pramesh.
Just, yeah, one statement you made needs to be dealt with. You stated that, you know, a hungry person is liable to commit crime, and you cited the UN, and it seems to make sense. But we see in the history of the world that some of the biggest criminals were the best fed and the wealthiest, just like recently in Sri Lanka. Those suicide bombers, they're all from good families, educated. So how can you explain that? It may be confusing to somebody that you're saying hunger produces crime, but we see people who are not hungry, they also commit sometimes the worst crimes.
Yeah. Actually, what happens is the beginning of crime is many times because of hunger, the beginning. And then once you get inside there, once someone starts to get the taste of performing crimes, then they want to do more and more and more. So what I was reading from United Nations, the new criminals that come, that the new criminals on the list, they are coming from, you know, poor backgrounds, which and we see that the person, many times we see that the first crime or the first theft I did was because, you know, I wanted to feed myself. The first time I did some stealing is because I was so hungry, I wanted to steal something. So that's how the beginning happens. That's what they're trying to say. And then later on, like what you said is perfectly right, that like nowadays the terrorism, we see the people are like, they're technicians, then they're, you know, well aware of technology, they're well educated many times, but they're misdirected youths. So terrorism has completely different idea. But these people who are hired for doing the groundwork, the people who actually go and, you know, perform these killings or whatever, these people are coming from, you know, they are also misdirected youth. They're coming from poor backgrounds, and they're given, you know, this, they're given the knowledge of Dharma, whatever they say that this is the religion. They mix the religion and they mix the misdirect the youth in the name of religion. But usually the beginning happens from that, the hunger, or sometimes the beginning happens also because of somebody hurting one's ego. So I think ego is also one of the things that leads to crime. So that's what I was reading, the United Nations report. They say that the new criminals that are added on the list, they are added mostly because of the poverty and hunger. So that's their calculation. But because, you know, we can see from Bhagavatam perspective, there could be many other ideas. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So if I have four gulabjans, I give two to you, and Krishna give me 20, he'll give me 20. So what about, you know, karmis who gave, you know, you want to give so much, you know, food. There is maybe two cases. One, they're giving vegetarian food, and did Krishna provide to them also, they're sharing vegetarian food, more than they're giving? And what about another case, and they're giving like Mother Teresa, they're giving like meat, chicken to people. Did Krishna also provide some extra food to this kind of, you know, karmis?
Yeah, even charity, if it is a misdirected charity, it can lead to both the things. Like one act of charity can bring about the same equal amount of good fortune and at the same time bad fortune. Like, for example, if I, out of foolish compassion, I think that, oh, this person is very skinny and very hungry, so let me feed him some meat because he's so skinny, he needs meat. So I am performing charity that is, will be considered as like good thing. It will produce some good result, but what I'm feeding is meat. So that meat has again its own all different, you know, karma cycle. So that is going to produce bad result. So one act can produce multiple seeds of karma, and those seeds will be fructified when the time comes in the future when there is sufficient, there is good environment for the seed, then each seed will be fructified and the good and the bad seeds will be resulted. It will give you the good or bad result. But just because I'm doing charity doesn't mean that it's going to give me only good result. For example, you know, I have seen, and it, you must have seen many times, out of compassion people, you know, give other person cigarettes. Like, oh, he needs it. Like, you know, sometimes homeless people or somebody approaches you, do you have some cigarettes? And people just give them. Sometimes I also saw that one person, one of my friends, who doesn't smoke himself, but he felt compassion and he gave him, you know, he bought him. So that is called misdirected compassion, which can lead to good and bad result. But many times the bad results are more prominent than the little good that you get. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Thank you.